Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Sama Veda Bhakti Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Hari Hari Bo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, Description of the Varna Ashram, and we have one verse, text number 32, which Keshava will hopefully.
Eka eva parohyatma. Bhuteshvatman yavastitah. Yatendu. Udapatreshu Bhutanyekatmakani cha Eka eva parohyatma Bhuteshvatman yavastita Yatendur udapatreshu Bhutanyekatmakani cha Eka eva parohyatma Bhuteshvatman yavastita Yatendur urapatreshu Bhutanyekatmakani cha Word for word, ekaha,
ekaha,
one, eva,
eva,
indeed,
indeed,
paraha,
paraha,
supreme,
supreme,
he,
in,
certainly,
certainly,
atma,
atma,
the supreme person, the personality of Godhead,
the personality of God,
bhuteshu,
bhuteshu,
within all bodies,
in all bodies,
atmani,
atmani,
within the living entity. Avastitaha,
situated,
yatha, just as, induhu, the moon, uda, of water, patreshu, in different reservoirs, bhutani,
all material bodies,
eka, of the one Supreme Lord,
as the one Supreme Lord,
atmakani,
atmakani,
composed of the energy,
composed of the energy,
cha, cha. Also,
also, thank you. Translation. The one Supreme Lord is situated within all material bodies and within everyone's soul. Just as the moon is reflected in innumerable reservoirs of water, the Supreme Lord, although one, is present within everyone. Thus, every material body is ultimately composed of the energy of the one Supreme Lord. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. All material bodies are composed of the same material nature, which is ultimately the potency of the one Supreme Lord. Therefore, one cannot justify feelings of hostility towards any living entity. In carrying out the Lord's mission on earth, the bona fide representative of God never becomes envious or hostile towards anyone. Even when chastised by those who are flagrantly violate the laws of God, every living being is ultimately the Son of God, and God is present within everyone's body. Therefore, saintly persons should be very careful, even when dealing with the most insignificant person or creature. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyana Anjana Salakaya Chaksu Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Jayatam Surito Pangor Mamamanda Madmatir Kati Matsar Vasva Padambo Jo Radha Madana Mohano Jai Prabhupada Patita Bhavan. So we have a statement in the Bhagavad Gita, Vasudev Sarvamiti, and that's saying that when someone understands knowledge, he comes to understand that everything is Krishna. Krishna is the one. However, para asya shakti, that this one has many different potencies that act differently. And one understands that basically it's divided into a couple different main categories. One is the external material energy, and the other is internal spiritual energy. And the living entity is called the marginal potency, and that is where he can be influenced by either one. It's a very special situation. So we're in the external energy, and we've come to understand a little bit about this external energy, enough to see that it's not the right energy to be within. So now we're trying to purify ourselves of our connection with it. So this verse here today, the one Supreme Lord is situated in all material bodies and within even everyone's soul. So it's explaining that there's one super soul, but he appears to be in everybody's body, so wouldn't it be a lot of different super souls? So Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, leads into this very... Sometimes if you read the Bhagavad Gita, you see the verses, and sometimes you see how one verse is right before another verse, and that's right. There's a progression, and you start to see the progression that Krishna is using. So in the 13th chapter, I was going to... I'll start with 17, but then I'll go back and see the progression leading up to it. So chapter 13... text number 17, it says, although the super soul appears to be divided amongst all beings, he is never divided. He is situated as one. Although he is the maintainer of every living entity, it is to be understood that he devours and develops all. So that's quite similar to today's verse. So I thought that they would go together well. He's situated as one. So how did he get to that? We'll go back to the process of knowledge is 13:8-12, by which one comes out of the bodily conception of life. Presently, we're absorbed in the, not everyone, but for the most part, the bodily conception of life is what people accept as truth. I was playing with some words this morning, and I was noticing that according to what you have your affection for, you get affected by affect and affection, but they're spelled with one's an E, one's an E. So according to what you accept as truth, you center everything around that. So if you look at it from another perspective, there's a perspective called philosophy. And that's where you'll take one point and you'll put everything in circles around that point. So we accept Krishna as the ultimate truth, the absolute truth, and we're also developing our affection for him as this Varnashram system is continuing its playing that out. So I was going to recall my last class. I had mentioned about a person that was born with a fist that wouldn't open up. Does anybody remember that? Okay, most of you remember, but I didn't give much explanation on that. So if you remember, I'm going to connect it, watch this, that when the wise man, he looked at the father, who was a pickpocket, and he looked at the mother, who was a pickpocket, and he looked at the son, he could think, this son is born from these two pickpockets. His hand is shut because he had an idea that when he came out of the womb, he took the ring off of the delivery nurse. So that's why he was holding it in his hand and he wasn't letting go of it. But how did he let go of it was when the wise person showed him something better. A nice necklace. He immediately opened his hand, dropped the ring, and grabbed the necklace. Okay, so here's the connection. It says at the time of initiation, he gets another birth, but who's his father this time is the spiritual master, and his mother is the Vedas. And we open our hand, let go of the material energy, and then grasp the param jisvanavardante, the higher principle of prema pumartamahan, to try to achieve this ultimate treasure of pure love of God. So Srila Prabhupada has explained in the Krishna book, chapter 47, where he says that this pure love of God is situated in all the energies, intrinsically integrated. He says, is intrinsically integrated into all of Krishna's potencies. So even though there are unlimited potencies of the Lord, the main two that we're concerned with is the external energy and the internal energy. And we're trying to let it fall out of our grasp and trying to grasp this jewel, prema, pumartamahan, so brought it around by the parents. So when you take your second birth, the spiritual master and the scriptures, you start to understand that your new identity, Jivera Srupoi Krishner Nityadas, and now you're still having to make an offering of all the things that take place within your material existence. So, of course, sometimes we say thank you, and tate nu kampam. So that's a transitional verse. This verse by Lord Brahma, he says, once you go on, if someone offers with their body, mind, and words obeisances to the Lord, and continues to suffer the reactions of his past misdeeds, then he can become liberated. become his rightful claim, Dayabhak. So, of course, the point there is to offer obeisances. So within those obeisances, Yasha Devi Parashaktir. So it says, for one who has faith, explicit faith, in the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the purports of the Vedas are revealed to him. I was just listening to a CD, an electronic device where Prabhupada's lecture was being reproduced, and he was giving a talk about this, and he says all of the purpose of the Vedas is revealed to him, the purpose. And we know from 15:15, by all the Vedas I am to be known. And then Prabhupada says, religion means to know God and to love God. So to know someone, what do they say? If you really want to know someone, you live with them. Then you really get to know that person. Anybody heard that before? You never really know somebody till you live with them. So you get to see all the different modes of nature, morning, afternoon, evening. So for a devotee, we live with our spiritual master by accepting his instructions. Because that's his instructions, his vani, is not different from him. So we're learning, we live with the spiritual master. So we get to know him, vibhe. And then we act according to those directions, dhimahi. We start to follow those directions that he's given us, and by that part, prasthena, that's the submissiveness to the spiritual master, who's non-different from Krishna. It says the guru is one. There can't be two. There's one, and that's Krishna. It's like the authority is one authority. And you can make up your own rule, like Prabhupada would say, drive on the left, but it won't work. You'll get in an accident. Drive, keep to the right, unless you're someplace else. But it's made up by the authority. So the spiritual master repeats Krishna. And if you repeat what Krishna says, that's authorized. So by being authorized representative of Krishna, that's called the guru. And by offering obeisances to him and following his directions, you get to know him, you get to be able to meditate, dhimi, on his nature of what he wants to get you back home, back to Godhead, which is in every available for us in every situation. This is ahoy tuki apatiyata. There isn't any situation that a pure devotee can't remember Krishna and serve Krishna in. So because we're talking about the super soul here, I'll go back a couple verses. I'm actually got a theme I'm going to try to bring up. And we went through 8 through 12 as a process of knowledge, humility, prides, nonviolence, like that tolerance. And it says if you do that with your mind fixed on Krishna, which is the underlying assumption that because you're reading this, you're trying to fix your mind on Krishna, which isn't always possible, but if you can't always do that, then you follow the regulations of bhakti yoga by which that desire will develop more and more by good association. So I'm going to read 13 through 17 again, because most of us aren't always fully aware of these. 13 is Krishna speaking to Arjuna. I shall now explain to you the knowable, knowing which you will taste the eternal, Brahman, the spirit, beginningless, subordinate to me, that lies beyond the cause and effect of this material world. So, of course, this is, I guess, Upanishadic language, because we're thinking Brahman to be, oh, that's something else. But actually, it's us, aham brahmasmi, the living entity. There isn't any place that doesn't have Krishna. And this Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, The devotee conception of Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan is actually all Bhagavan, Parasha Shakti. That is, there's different energies, but it's still Krishna. And this, even though it's impersonal Brahman, for a devotee it's not really impersonal Brahman. It's still Krishna. Just like Prabhupada would talk about a tape recorder. He says, this is impersonal, the tape recorder. But when you're listening to a tape recorder, you're listening to Prabhupada. It's old days for tape recorders. That's what they used to use before CDs and before these other things for modern people. They had a show that I saw that they asked these, I guess they were around 12 years old, they held up a floppy disk and they asked them, does anybody know what this is? No. They hold up a VHS tape. Does anybody know what this is? No. So all these things have been changed and the next generation doesn't even know it. So this Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, just like that tape recorder, it's impersonal, but it's Prabhupada. You're listening to Prabhupada. So when even with this Brahman conception for a devotee, it's still Krishna, because it's just acting in different capacities according to 4.11. As they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. We have an eternal relationship with Krishna, which means when does it start, when does it stop? It's eternal. It's going on all the time. It's happening right now. Every moment, every thought that we have is still connected with Krishna, and he hears them all as the super soul. So as we become aware of the super soul, as our relationship with Krishna, our affection for Krishna grows, you start to be able to interact. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached. So part of that surrendering process is recognizing what the mind does. It usually, for the most part, we could say, it represents the material energy. It's speaking karmakanda language to you. It's putting you in the bodily conception of life. So as your knowledge grows, like we were just talking about the last verse right before this verse that we're on in the Bhagavad Gita, tells you how to overcome the mind, just like Bhakti Siddhanta. He would say that in the morning you have to beat your mind 100 times with a boot, a shoe. I sometimes think boot because we reboot so many things. So we're kind of rebooting, but use a shoe. And in the evening, with you got to clear out all the stuff that contaminated you, so you use a broom in the evening. So one of the ways that you beat the mind is this process of knowledge. The first one is humility, which Prabhupada describes as not being anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others, which is generally another way of saying pride. Pride is dharpa. So we chaita, dharpa, and amarjanam. We're cleansing this so we're being able to see Krishna is actually the doer. 327 in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the living entity, when he's an illusion, he thinks he's the doer. But actually everything's Krishna. Everything is our relationship with Krishna. And according to our covered and purification taking place, we're seeing that when we're not unconscious of our relationship with Krishna, we're conscious of our relationship with Krishna. We're seeing his different potencies that are working. And by our degree of affection, there's a concomitant, how do you say it? Concomitant factor of knowledge that manifests, of your devotion. Knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. So as your affection for Krishna grows, the realizations are there. 11.2.42, Bhakti Para Isha Anubhava. Pretty close. That the para Ishvara, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govindam Sarvakarna Karnam. That's Lord Brahma speaking about Krishna. So he's a supreme controller. And not only that, but 529, Bhoktaram Sakha, he's your Suridam. He's your best friend. So as one develops his affection or his relationship with the spiritual masters, pleasing the spiritual master, Krishna is revealing more and more things. You're getting a higher clearance. Like in the military, they have clearances, confidential, most confidential, secret, top secret. So you get more things revealed. Yasha Devi Para Bhaktir. So listening to, getting back to what I said a little while ago, listening to that tape on the way in, Prabhupada was saying that instead of saying all the purports are revealed, he says the purpose is revealed. And then he says, artha. I never connected artha and purpose. And then he adds one more word. He says profit. So then you get the profit. Everybody's looking for profit. So in this human form of life, the profit, the artha, the desired element is love of God, developing our connection, reviving our connection, because it's an eternal relationship. Right now, we're relating all the time. Everything, every thought we have is relating to Krishna and his different potencies. There isn't anything else. What else could there be? That's why that when you come to knowledge, 719, after many births, he surrenders, recognizing that Krishna is everything. And then he sees these different energies. Like generally, the material energy is attractive to the conditioned soul, according to the program of Lord Brahma, and born into delusion, overcome by desire and hate. He has this affection for the material energy. But that, once he recognizes, for instance, Krishna, as your friend, he gives you some advice. He says, if you want to be happy, it's in sacrifice. Most conditioned souls think happiness is in sense enjoyment. So what's he say to that about it? If you're actually wise, 522, a wise man does not take part. He doesn't get involved with the sources of misery. That's a strong word. He doesn't become involved with the senses, the sense objects, because he knows they're sources of misery. And how does he know that? Because he has this para-shakti understanding. Yes, it's all Krishna's energy, but this one is called fruit of activities that produces misery. And the other is devotional service, which uncovers your nature of Sat, Chit, and Ananda. So sometimes people say, how are you feeling? You know how they do that in, as a matter of kind of like custom. So I say, well, I'm actually Sat, Chit, Ananda, but I got a touch of this material energy. And you know how that can make you feel, like you could die. So it's got a lot of little things in there. We are Satchitananda, but because we're in contact with this material energy, we've identified with the impermanent. And the impermanent, if one thing is permanent and the other thing's impermanent, what's going to happen? The one that's permanent is going to have to leave the one that's temporary. So they call that death. So you're naturally going to have to leave that. So Krishna, as your friend, he says, don't get involved with this material energy. And he gives you the process of knowledge, how to get out of that. So which brings me back to what we're reading in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, I'll tell you about this Brahman, it's subordinate to me. I mean, we could say, you are Brahman and you are subordinate to me. But the way it's written here, it's... So then the next verse says, everywhere are his hands and legs, his eyes, heads, faces. He has ears everywhere. In this way, the super soul pervades everything. So I thought Krishna says he doesn't have senses. He's a source of senses. Here he's saying he's got all these hands and legs and eyes everywhere. So how do you see the hands and eyes and legs everywhere? Ah, that's the next step. Shanai, shanai. You know shanai, shanai? It's like the cha-cha. You take one step forward, two back, two forward, one. Anyway, that's step by step. One should fix himself in trance by means of the intelligence. So that's Bhagavad Gita 6:25. So we're step by step, we're using our intelligence to surrender, to see this. So how is these eyes? If you look this up, which is a wonderful facility that we have with the Veda base, you can take this. This is chapter 13, verse 14. And you just do a query of all the different ways that Prabhupada uses it in lectures and other purports. And you start to see that he's talking about two things. One here, that Jiva, who's also Krishna, he's in the heart of the Jivas, 1861. He's directing the wanderings of all the living entities. And that's Rishikesh. He's the controller of everyone's senses. So now, in my way of thinking, you can get an upgrade on Rishikesh by always trying to please the Lord of your senses, and then there's a reciprocation. Govinda, Sambandavideya, Govinda, he gives happiness to your senses. But that's when Rishikesh is present, and Rishikesh is in everybody, as we're talking here, the super soul. He's engaging everybody. So some people will act one way, some people they act the other way. Prabhupada says, even though Krishna is situated in the heart of a tiger, one doesn't embrace a tiger. There's usually one or two people that try, born free, things like that, but the ending is always a little different than they expected. If anybody remembers the born free lady, Irene, she raised a little lion, and it was such a cute lion, and then they were good friends for a while. But anyway, the lion ultimately didn't reciprocate the way she wanted to. She lost that body there. So everywhere is hands and legs, his eyes, his heads, his faces. So now, if you start to think of how Krishna is controlling everybody's senses, some people know it, some don't. You got the 1861, that machine built of the material energy, which is working under Krishna's direction. Then you can see the living entity, you can see the material nature, you can see the super soul, you can see the karma. There's five. And the living entity. So you see all five, which is the Bhagavad Gita, and it's all about relationship. So we have our eternal relationship that we're trying to revive, and we're going step by step. So we know by the process, alchemy process, where they can turn bell metal into gold, the spiritual master by the initiation process can turn the matter into spirit by engaging you in devotional service, and it makes you a Brahmin, born again. So this Brahmin is one who knows what is Brahman, which is subordinate to Krishna, which is all-pervading, which means that whole thing of recognizing Krishna's connection. So the way that unlocks its full potency is Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale from Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine. So if you notice, what is the potency of offering obeisances to the spiritual master? So one time I was noticing we have installed deities here. So nice. How do they become installed? Krishna's everywhere, so he's already there. But how is he there now after he's installed? That's different from before he was installed. There's an interesting process that takes place there by the purity, the spiritual master, who relishes pure devotion within his mind. He asks Krishna to come and personally be here to accept your service. Now, at the time of initiation, he also gives you a holy name. There's plenty of holy names around, but he gives you a installed, so to speak, holy name. So I imagine when you're doing deity service, you always offer your obeisances. Even to see the deity, you offer your obeisances to your spiritual master, connecting how the spiritual master is how Krishna is appeared by his request. Krishna has appeared, and by his request, he's giving us Krishna in this form of his holy name. However, this just like with the deity installations, he was in some anxiety, and when during the initiation, the holy name initiations, when you're getting your second birth and your holy name being given to you, it's Krishna, and the lecture is almost always on avoiding the 10 offenses. Prabhupada would say, because it says the difference between a pure devotee and other devotees that aren't to that level is they think that the deity is a representation of Krishna, where the pure devotee, he sees as non-different than Krishna. This is Krishna. So the holy name, Baba and up, it's Krishna. So he's giving you Krishna, and he's asking you, please take care of Krishna nicely. Don't offend him, because that's always the concern. Like if a mother drops off her child at daycare, she's hoping, please take care of my child nicely. Don't do anything different than I would do with the loving concern that I have, and I'm trusting you. You know, that you'll take care of my child nicely. And if not, then you don't go back, and there's all kinds of emotions that take place. So Prabhupada gave us the holy name to take care of it. And then what else has he given us that's unique? How do you turn food into prasadam? Krishna, because prasadam is Krishna. How do you do that? By offering it to the spiritual master, and then Lord Chaitanya, and then recognizing, because you think, Namo Brahmanaya Devaya, how is that a part of an offering process? In fact, others that aren't in our line of Srila Prabhupada, they don't do it like that. They don't understand that process. I even talked to one of the leader of another group, and he said, we don't even have prasadam because we don't offer it. But Srila Prabhupada, in his infinite wisdom, he's giving us these things to grow the understanding, yasha devi prabhaktir, how this love is coming through the pure devotee, and how we're getting the profit from this. So if in the Guru Vastaka prayers, you're offering obeisances to your spiritual master who's receiving benediction from the ocean of mercy and freeing you from the cycle of birth and death. And he's relishing pure devotional service in his mind because of Lord Chaitanya's wonderful program. He engages you in the deities and he's also made prasadam for you. And saksari, skipped a couple. He's always engaged. He's anxious to always be engaged in hearing and chanting about what? Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. So the name, Kirtanya Sada Hari, he's always manifesting that for us too. And then if you get those right, the next one's a little bit more mysterious. That he's expert in assisting the gopis, but that's Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, and he's non-different from Krishna, but at the same time, he is. So everything is being understood by good association with repeating what Prabhupada says, it's the ear is Karnapur. It's the decoration. The words, when your ear is decorated by hearing the words of the spiritual master. So I think that should do it for the time. And if there's any questions or comments, we can do that. And I'll read the verse again. The one Supreme Lord is situated within all material bodies and within everyone's soul. Just as the moon is reflected in innumerable reservoirs of water, the Supreme Lord, although one, is present within everyone. Thus, every material body is ultimately composed of the energy of the one Supreme Lord. I missed a couple of the points. I always overdo it, but there's like in speaking of spiritual master, he's a tapavit. He's a seer of the truth, a knower of the truth, tapadarshan, that's it, 434. And the next verse it says, if you hear from him, what will you know? What is that truth? And then that the next four verses are all about that same point, and also the sacrifice of that as the topmost sacrifice. So for us that may need to recall it again, it says, you'll know that all living beings are mine. They belong to Krishna, and they're in me and are mine. So he says, even if you're the most sinful persons, if you have this idea of how to interact with people as Krishna's property, Isha Vaishya Dham Sarvam, everything is owned and controlled by the Lord. That includes the bodies we're in. Then you can be free from your karma by doing the sacrifice of this knowledge. And it says it's the most sublime. And if you practice the sambandha, you come to understand that it's the most, and one will enjoy ashnute, him, the self within himself, in due course of time. So this, that's also that ashnute is Sri Upanishad 11, where it talks about the full blessings of immortality. You're eating the full blessings. So just like he said, I'm going to give you a taste. And this other one is that you're ashnute. So it's, my mother would say, it's a cult, an acquired taste, something. Because when I was young, she was drinking some coffee. So I drank a sip of it. Ah, oh, how do you do it? This tastes like burnt beans. And she says, no, it's roasted and it's got all. So it wasn't for me. So then I grew up a little bit more, and people were talking about this other stuff that was really wonderful. So I was 16, so a little young, but they were talking about this stuff. It was imported from Canada, Canadian Club. And that's, for those who have been blessed not to know what that is, that's a whiskey. So they were talking about that, and I took a sip of that. I said, ah, that's horrible. That's like terrible stuff. And they said, it's an acquired taste. So, and then of course tobacco is like that. Who remembers? Anybody tried it? They cough like anything. It's an acquired. So those are in the mode of ignorance, but also in the beginning of chanting Hare Krishna, it's an acquired taste. In the beginning, it may be a little bit bitter, jaundice, but it's actually very sweet. So we're developing this taste. So I'll try to stop. That's a couple of the things. I was saying I have a lot of points. I was going to try to connect the dots so we'd get the picture. Trivikram has one. Yeah. Is it on? Is that green button on? If the green button's on, it may not be on back here.
I'm leaving, you answer the question.
And in between the atoms, too. Well, here's an easy way that I understood it. I was having a dream. And in the dream, there was other people, there was furniture, there was a plot, there was all this stuff going on. And what part of that wasn't me? You know, wasn't that all just my mind, my, you know, those other people, they are actually part of my conscious, you know, however you want to say it, it wasn't generally other people. So what part of Krishna's yoga nidra isn't Krishna? What part? There's nothing outside. There's no true superior me. All pervading means it's all him. Excuse me?
I say your dream is not, it's a projection of the thoughts.
Yeah, well, Krishna has yoga nidra. Mahavishnu, he lies down and takes us, you know, there's that whole thing how he's in yoga nidra. And there's a lot of connections if we start talking about dreams, about what's real. It's a real dream, but it's temporary. So this whole material creation, Krishna creates a place for us to seemingly exist while we don't want to have a relationship with him out of his kindness, even though he prefers and he comes again and again to try to get your attention back. We've lost our attention to giving our attention to his connection. Just like if you have children, sometimes they don't call so often. So maybe a month goes by, maybe more, and they call and say, oh, I was thinking about you. I was wondering when you were going to call. Thanks so much for calling. I missed you. And then they say, I'm a little short on funds this month. You think you could help me out a little bit? So you thought they were calling, but actually they needed something. So you tell people about Krishna and say, oh, okay, they're finally remembering me. And they say, could you give me my daily bread? Could you provide this? Could you give me this? It's like a Santa Claus conception of God. You know, just, I got a list of things. They hardly ever say, oh, how are you? Are you all right? How's everything going? Of course, we think, parents are always all right, you know, you don't think they're anything. So, I mean, we always say, oh, Krishna's Atma Rama. But he misses you. He wants you back home. God only knows why, but he does. I think Dharmaraj, there's one on the, all right. You got the mic working, those batteries? Yeah, now that Trivia Crumb's finished, we got the mic working again.
All right, Trivia Crumb asks, how do we understand Krishna's in the atom, right?
Oh, all right.
There first, what's his concept of an atom?
Oh.
You know
that's
what I mean?
Theoretical. And,
all right, so that's more philosophical, but that's a philosophical question then. I mean, if he's in the heart of every conditioned soul and he lets them do what they want to do, I mean, he's guiding them, but if they don't take their guidance, so he's very happy to not give guidance if it's not desired. So at any rate, so we have this description, he's in the atom, whatever that is conceived to be.
He's also is the atom.
Exactly. It's all his energy. It's all his plaything.
It's to help you conceive.
Yeah.
It depends on how you see it. Some people.
Well, can I?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
sure.
I want to pick
one. You're jumping at
the yeah. Well, I mean, so if we don't really, I mean, you know, modern scientific concepts of the atom are just expanding and mutating constantly in complexity. So we're worried about how is Krishna in some minute thing is basically our question, because
you know, is it in the third energy level of the outer orbit of the electron? I mean, it's just not relevant, you know. So, you know, if Krishna is a supersoul, can be in the heart or whatever that is, a conditioned soul, why can't he be in that or whatever that minute thing is if he wants to be? And if, as far as us conceiving it, what are we, engineers? We're going to, like, figure out how he shoves himself in that thing? I mean, he can do whatever he wants. Oh, well, then you're picking on
Gabriel's understanding. Yeah, that's neat. There's a...
You got it.
I saw your hand. I was just getting it there.
Yeah, I was just going to tell a little story. You talk about the broomstick and the acquired taste. This is true what happened from the temple that I was brought up in Essequibo. Just next door, there's a neighbor there, and he came from a Brahmin Pandit family, but he was a drunk, the Sharmas, and his wife was always frustrated with him, you know, because every night he's drunk. So she came to one Sunday program, and they heard whoever gave the lecture to discuss about beating the mind with the broom. So at the end, she said she liked that, and I have an idea. And she left. She didn't explain what the idea is. So from that night, whenever he come in drunk, she took the broom and the broomstick, and she would beat him and lock him out on the back door and leave him there. And in the morning, when we blow the shell from Mangalarti, she would wake up, open the door, and let him in. So that was her concept of, you know, of beating. And it actually went on for quite a long time because he never stopped drinking and she never stopped beating him. I don't know about the morning, but, you know, it was always noisy over there. So to stop the noise, she would beat him and lock him out. And then he would fall asleep on the step or something, and we would be peaceful. So.
Could you bring the mic over to the other side? Thank you. Raise your hand.
Hare Krishna. Madam Mohan Prabhu, thank you very much for the beautiful class, the wonderful knowledge. I have a little question that we understand we're liberated souls, you know, the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the Guru Parampara, or the mercy of the devotees. And in this part of the Bhagavatam, we describe the Varnashrama evolution, and we are part of it, Devi Varnasam, suppose, as devotees understand. How much we let's say we accept a service for Prabhupada to complete something, and we accept material elements to do our service, how far we think we can go and feel satisfaction and perhaps don't exploit that? How far we could go to accept the material elements and to go beyond and thinking I'm gratifying my senses.
So how far we can go using material elements in Krishna service?
Yes.
Oh, you can go all the way to prema like that. It's Prabhupada would sometimes compare the material elements to a rod, a metal rod, steel rod. And he says, if you put it in fire, then that steel rod turns red hot. And then he says, it's not a steel rod anymore, it's actually fire. So is it fire or is it steel rod? He says, it acts just like fire. Anything you touch, it'll burn, it puts out light. So the same way this material energy, generally, in Krishna conscious philosophy, material energy is described as that you're misusing Krishna's energy. Mm-hmm. So if one of the words I made up, I make up words sometimes, is yukta-ize it. If you utilize it in Krishna's service, yukta-vairagya, to engage it in Krishna's service, mm-hmm. So that's yukta-izing it. In Krishna's service, and it's not really material anymore. And the quality of the service that you're doing is also eternal.
Right? It says, even if you do a little bit of pure devotional service, it's eternally relishable. So the service is eternal. And in the Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse about everything. Transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. And then the element, everything that you used in sacrifice, it all becomes transcendentalized. So there really isn't material energy for a devotee. He sees everything as Krishna to be used in his service. He can do that. That's his magic, that he turns everything back into spirit by yukta vairagya, using it. And also it says that 11.2.42 verse again, three things happen simultaneously. That devotion, direct experience of Krishna, so he's there everywhere, he's all pervading, even between the atoms and the atoms. You're using it in his service, and the external energy, which is also Krishna's energy, the parasha shakti, is part of his energy, but you're discriminating how to use it and how not to use it. In our present time, we can renounce things. It's part of the first parts of surrender. You accept those things favorable and you reject those things unfavorable, which is surrender, which is our whole process of showing that we're interested in pleasing the spiritual master and pleasing Krishna. So when we reject those things, in the other example, 325.33, it says that that rejection is in your how your subtle body is being digested. Your material existence is being digested, and just like in your stomach, digestion takes place, some of what you eat is turned into nutrition, and your body grows from that, and some of it is turned into waste by rejection, and it gets eliminated. So that elimination process is how the spiritual body grows. Becomes free from the material, from that understanding what is matter and what is spirit, to control or both, which is the definition of knowledge. And then the intelligence is how to apply that. Is that all right? Okay. We did it. All glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhupada.